wonderful. For the scripture reading today, we are in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds of the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to call the child's mother?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water."
So today is the first Sunday of the month, and it's our Communion Sunday when we all celebrate at the Lord's table together after the message. And so if you're wondering, children on the first Sunday of the month join us in worship, and so that's why I heard one of the kids saying, "Why aren't we downstairs?" And it's a good reminder. It's because it's the first Sunday of the month. That's why we're upstairs today. So the kids are working on a project, and that is to tell the origin story of Moses, so Moses' story as a baby, in a comic book form. And that's really interesting and fun because I am about to compare Moses' story to Superman's story. So listen up. So who remembers, those of us that love comic books, Superman's origin story? So here's how it goes. A child named Kal-El is born on the planet Krypton. And just before the destruction of Krypton, Kal-El's parents make a spacecraft and they launch Kal-El into it, saving his life from great danger. The spacecraft crashes into the rural United States, where Kal-El's adoptive parents, John and Martha Kent, adopt him and name him Clark. Later, we learn that Clark Kent has superhero powers, and he can leap tall buildings in a single bound. Now listen to Moses' origin story. A nameless child is born on the banks of the River Nile. His mother, Jehochebed, hides him for as long as she can, but she eventually puts him in a basket and floats him down the river, saving him from great danger. The basket makes its way to the daughter of Pharaoh, where she adopts him and names him Moses. Later in the story, we find out that Moses has all sorts of superhero powers and can part the Red Sea, bring water out of a rock, and all sorts of other amazing things. So basically, Moses is like Superman. They have sort of similar origin stories, don't they? They both come from a place where they're adopted by somebody else who gives them a new name. They both escape great danger at the very beginning of their lives. Moses is a giant of our faith, one of the most important figures of the Christian faith. But yet at the beginning of his story, he's all alone, floating down a river in a basket made out of reeds and bitumen and pitch. We don't even know what those things are, really. I kind of researched them this week, and one of the scripture translations says that it is slime that the basket's made out of. So some sort of slime from a tree that his mother fashions to put him in there to make sure that this basket is watertight. So it's not until later that we learn all these great things about who Moses is and what Moses is going to do. He's going to go on to liberate the Israelite people from slavery, but we don't know that yet. Here at the beginning of the story, before it all gets started, before all the action, I wonder if we're meant to just consider that Moses is this tiny baby in a basket, saved from great danger. Sometimes we make Moses out to be almost superhuman in the story. And this story sort of foreshadows that greatness to come. But this story is a story of a humble beginning, of God using an ordinary woman and an ordinary baby to do amazing things. And in reflecting on this over and over this week, I kept coming back to this one simple idea, that all of our heroes have a backstory. The giants in our lives, the people who have giant faith, or they're people that we admire for their celebrity or their intelligence or whatever, they all have a backstory. They're all ordinary people. Even Superman was first an orphan. So was Moses. So who are the giants in your life, and what do you admire about them? What do you know about their backstory? I'm going to just tell you a couple of my favorites and a little bit of what I know about the backstories of them. One of my favorite business people is a woman named Sarah Blakely. Does anybody know who she is? Do you know what she invented? Spanx. If you're a woman, you might know what Spanx are. If you're a man, you might not know what Spanx are. Spanx are shapewear that women wear under their clothes to make their dresses look better. And the thing that I love and admire about Sarah is that she made her invention, which is now turned into a multi-billion dollar company. She just made it in her living room. She took a pair of her pantyhose and she cut off the feet, and then she thought, oh, I could figure out how to make this into shapewear. And she just followed her dream and followed her intuition. And now she's like this super fancy, super wonderful inventor and CEO. But one of the things that I appreciate about her and like about her is that when she talks about her journey and talks about how she got to where she is, she doesn't skip over the tough parts. She doesn't skip over the parts where she was in her apartment trying to make this invention work and she had no money and no ability to make it happen. And then another one of my heroes is somebody that you've almost certainly never heard of. His name is David Hilfiker, H-I-L-F-I-K-E-R. And he's somebody that wrote a book called Not All of Us Are Saints. It's a book that I read when I was about 18 years old, and it totally changed my life and changed the way that I wanted to orient my life. And Dr. Hilfiker decided when he was a young doctor that he didn't want to follow the path of all other family practice doctors and set up his practice in the wealthy neighborhood that he lived in. He instead decided that he wanted to move with his entire family into urban Washington, D.C. and minister to the poor through medicine. And it's an incredible story about what it means to orient your life in a particular way. And ever since I was maybe 18 years old and read that story, Dr. Hilfiker has been one of the heroes of my faith. And again, like Sarah, one of the things that he does in his work is make sure that we know that it wasn't all glory, wasn't all recognition the whole time. There were so many struggles. He talks about the struggles with his children, the struggles with some of his most difficult patients. So who would you claim as one of the heroes of your faith, and why? I would challenge you that if your heroes are people you don't know personally, and a lot of times that's the case, right? That you remember that everything you know and see about them has been edited in some way. I think this is particularly important in an age of Instagram and social media, where our heroes can look perfectly polished and flawless. Going back to my first hero, Sarah Blakely, if you look at her Instagram, looks like she's having some good times on private jets and lots of beaches. You might tend to forget about that story that I told where things weren't as good. All of our heroes have a backstory. All of our heroes are ordinary people just like us. Before Moses was Moses, he was an orphan baby floating down a river. Sometimes we can romanticize the story, the backstory of our heroes, but they are real people with real struggles, even if we don't get to know what they are. So what's the message in this for all of us? It's very simple. God chooses ordinary or even unexpected people time and time again in Scripture to do God's work. Throughout the biblical narrative, it's not the most put-together, superhero-y, fastest, brightest, most capable person that God chooses. It's an ordinary person like Moses, that God chooses to do something absolutely extraordinary with. So we should be prepared for this as ordinary people. As we embark on this journey of the faith, let us start with Moses' beginnings in mind. Start by remembering that Moses, though he's a superhero in our mind now, started out as a tiny orphan baby floating down the river. God chooses ordinary people time and time again, and God even chooses us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God. Amen.